there's a jargon phrase that used to be bandied about a few years ago, I don't know if it still is, amongst Christian clergy, which is club mentality or commitment mentality. And it was really an awareness that we live in an age when people join clubs for what they can get out of them. If I asked you to pull out your purse or wallet and look at what club membership card you've got in there, you might have one, say, for a video shop, and that's so that you can go and get DVDs out, isn't it? You might have something for the leisure centre, and that's so that you can go and swim or use the gym. There are other things that we belong to. For what we can get out of it, we pay a sub to the golf club so that we can go and play golf or whatever it is. And I think it's difficult for churches today because we live in an age where that's what people think it's about. I join something for what I can get out of it. I pay my bit and then I've got a right to take something from it. People don't join clubs thinking of what they might put into it, do they? Thinking of how they might contribute to what's going on. I read some work a few years ago that had been done about the state of churches today, and I remember a little comment made by somebody who'd been interviewed, somebody who just came and sat in a pew on Sunday morning and didn't do anything else. I think it was an Anglican church. And this lady said, well, you see, you have to be very careful not to raise your head above the pew, because if you do, you get called to run the brownies, and so it goes on. Well, that's true. But you can see the mentality there, can't you? I don't want to get involved. I'll just come forget what I want to get out of it. But it doesn't occur to people that joining a church isn't what you get out of it. It's what you put into it. Why is that? Why is that part of the theology of joining a church? Because Jesus said so. He said, what you do for each other, you do for me. It's that simple. And he told us very clearly to meet in his name, to call ourselves the body of Christ with him as our head. Therefore, to work together, to be that body, to work hard at creating that unified whole, the pieces, the string that is going around us now. I don't know if you remember, but when I was little, and that's an awful long time ago, we used to have a saying in our church that called everybody's effort. And it was like a kind of summer fair that we did. Only it was, did you ever use that term? Everybody's effort for sort of summer fair or Christmas fair? Because it was just that. Everybody made something. Contributed to the bric-a-brac stall or the cake stall or handicrafts or whatever it was. Everybody made an effort or came on the day and helped out or counted the money. It involved everybody. Churches only work with everybody's effort, don't they? Everybody's effort. And Paul was sensing that the church in Thessalonica was losing sight of that. It's all right now. We're in. We can sit back and just wait for Jesus to come back. Because, of course, they thought he was coming back a few years, even months later. We know that it's different. But I think we still fall into the same trap. Our churches will only survive as beacons of light, as witness to Jesus Christ, with everybody's effort, with everybody pulling together. Whether that be through prayer, which is some people's real forte, through visiting, which is other people's skill, through preparing worship and all the aspects of worship, through things done behind the scenes or up front. Whatever it is, it requires everybody's effort. It may be that we think we're not up to it. I can't do that because. I can't be like Jesus because. I don't have the energy because. Well, Jesus thinks that you do. I don't know if you watched the two finals yesterday at Wimbledon. and maybe we'll be watching today, but what struck me when a 14-year-old received a cup from, I've just forgotten her name, the lady who presented the cup who'd won the same thing in 1964. Anne Jones, thank you. I thought, how different is the game today? And one reason for that is that tennis players have to be an awful lot fitter than they did then. And there's training is different and facilities are different. They have to be very, very fit if they want to get to the top. Remember Andrew Murray controversially pulling his sleeve up and showing his muscle? He was saying, that's what it takes for me to be a top tennis player. Well, that's what it takes for churches to get anywhere today, for people to be fit. Not fit by going to a gym necessarily, maybe not fit in body, but certainly fit in our whole being. How might we do that? How might we get fit to be a church that is a beacon of light for Jesus? Any suggestions? You're hoping the children will answer. Well, the spotlight's on you. Pray. Yes, that's so important. Prayer, drawing strength from God, listening to God so that we can give out. That's a really important way of getting fit. Anything else that we might do to be fit as a church? Yes, encouraging each other. Encouraging each other. Helping each other.
Being...
Yes. Yes. That's really important. We must always study the Bible in a regular way, on our own and in groups as well, sharing our thoughts with each other. And there's also what we did at the beginning, always thanking and praising God, worshipping God, another way of getting fit